Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Moments away from my hot take. We'll see if the guys can get that. You know, I was thinking this weekend, so they were doing Zoom learning for New York City schools, and they've now cut that out because I guess they're having issues with Zoom. And do you know how they're doing the NFL draft, Chris?
Is it Zoom, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not great.
So they can't do distance learning in New York City schools for fear of things getting hacked and issues happening, but they're going to do the NFL draft. Could you imagine?
No, I could not imagine, Dave.
If something happens,
they can't do it. You can't have something like what happened on Friday afternoon to Keandre Miller happen with the NFL draft. Can't have it.
That was repulsive.
That's the worst.
Awful.
No, I mean, you would think that we would live in a time where we would be beyond that, Dave, but unfortunately, because of what's going on, people ain't got nothing but time, and sometimes the worst in us comes out, and that was apparent with how they treated that kid on Friday afternoon.
It was terrible. I mean, there's nothing more to say about than it was vile, and you know, you say you'd hope that we were past that time, but we're not past that time. I mean, you see all that goes on with all these crazy people out in the world. I don't think we're anywhere near being past that time.
No, we're not anywhere near being past that time, Dave, but you would just think with a global pandemic and everything being shut down that we would all have some sense of unity, like we're in this together. You know, I don't understand why you would want to, you know, treat somebody the way that they treated that kid on Friday afternoon when he's doing a live Q&A with the organization. I just feel like that was the worst, man. You don't understand people that think like that, so I guess it doesn't make any sense to try to understand it. But in pointing out the risks when it comes to putting on these events, you know, using, you know, these types of means being, you know, virtual communications, like that's the thing that you have to worry about, because when you start talking about the integrity of what you're doing, especially as something as significant as the NFL draft, one would worry about the security of it.
I think you have to, right, Rick? I mean, could you imagine that if the Jets are going to make their pick and somebody shuts down their access or says a pick that they don't want? I mean, if they can't do distance learning in New York City schools now because of it, you have to wonder what happens when we get to the draft in just 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, there's still a lot of uncertainty. And by the way, I mean, good on some of the Rangers too, stepping up with Trouba and Strome and some of the guys stepping in. I mean, there's not a word that's strong enough to kind of tell you how I feel about that whole situation. I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, this young kid, and he's got to be, you know, something like that has to happen. It's gross. But I mean, I would imagine, I mean, that's what they're working here over the next couple of weeks. We're trying to get the system in how they're gonna manage this whole thing down before they. I mean, that's the last thing you would want is Dave Rothenberg hacking into the Giants draft and changing.
I don't know if that's the last thing that we would want, Rick. If Dave Gettleman is still the general manager, yeah. I don't know that Dave hacking the Giants and making the pick is the worst thing.
And the Redskins with the second overall selection will take Jeffrey Okuda, cornerback, Ohio State University.
I will say, though, speaking of the NFL draft, I mean, did you see Rich Cimini went through the NFL, did his own NFL draft?
Yes.
I mean, if the first two picks end up looking like that, I will be a happy Jets fan. A very happy Jets fan.
Walk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, did you see it?
I saw it, but not everyone saw it.
All right, I'll pull it up right now. So Cimini went through it, and I actually like this wide receiver a lot. So everyone just imagines that, I mean, there's conflicting reports. I mean, I think they need to take an offensive tackle, but you can have your choice at 11 of maybe CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy.
And McShay seems to believe that they're going to go wide receiver at 11.
Yeah, which would lead, I mean, he's got a personal relationship with Joe Douglas. So I mean, I don't think he would go and say exactly who they're going to take, but I know he probably likes to be right. So Cimini went through it, and he ended up getting Jedrick Wills, tackle at 11 from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 48, he gets T. Higgins, wide receiver from Clemson.
Now, how happy happens, would you be?
I'd be doing backflips. And I can't even, I mean, I need help from a bed to try to have sexy time, and I'd be able to do backflips. That'd be great for us.
Yeah, of course.
You wouldn't love that?
Wills and Higgins? Yeah, for you, it would be great.
Awesome.
And here's the thing. The third round pick in Curtis Weaver wouldn't be bad either. Edge rusher, no, you need edge pass rush. That'd be a solid draft if the Jets could pull that off.
Great. I can't envision how Wills is going to last down to 11, though.
Well, if you have a run on quarterbacks, as Todd McShay seems to think so, then, yeah, it could potentially happen. McShay has got all four of the top quarterbacks going in the top 10.
Yeah.
So if that happens, then, yeah, I could absolutely see those tackles falling a little bit.
Yeah. The one I could see there for the Jets is Thomas, but maybe one of those other three will fall. Maybe Becton or Wills will fall to 11. And if so, you snap that up immediately, I think, if you're the Jets.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
So Rick, you're the Jets fan. In your mind, if Wills, Becton, or Wirfs is on the board at 11, it's a no-brainer decision.
For me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, with the depth at wide receiver, mm-hmm. I mean, you can still get a really good wide receiver in the second round. Especially after you saw what happened last year with the second round of wide receivers. How much success second round wide receivers had.
Yeah, A.J. Brown. Yeah. Debo
Metcalf.
Samuel.
And there's so many. I mean, there's a kid from Colorado, right? He's supposed to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, there are a lot of good receivers in this draft. So, I mean, if you're the Jets, this is a draft that sets up to fit a lot of your needs. Now you just hope that the general manager does the right thing and gets the good value proposition based on where you're picking and what's available on the board. So I think that the Jets fans are going to have a better appreciation for Joe Douglas after the draft, because based on what happened in free agency, he didn't have any really splash moves, but I think he set this team up to be able to take the best available player based on where they're at in the draft. And I think that they're going to really hit in terms of being able to address some of those needs.
They got flexibility now, too. I mean, the glaring need, obviously, is wide receiver. But, I mean, as far as what you decide you want to do at 11, I mean, Joe Douglas is going to – I think he's done a really good job of putting himself in a position of strength where he can make that decision.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
If what you said happens and you have your choice of Becton – or one of those offensive tackles, I think the drop off from the better offensive tackles is much greater than the drop off between what you get in the second round with a wide receiver.
Yes. And if you get a legitimate starting offensive line, like a guy you could just plug and play for a decade, I can't imagine anyone is going to complain about adding that to the Jets.
No, I think especially when you see how football is going. I mean, look at the quality of wide receivers coming that you're getting now from the college game. I mean, just the these drafts are littered with them.
Look at the pay scale, Rick. I mean, with the Houston Texans, are going to have to pay Laremy Tunsil on a contract extension. I mean, it's ugly. So, I mean, you look at it, it's supply and demand. And the harder commodity to find between wide receiver and offensive tackle is offensive tackle. I don't even think it's all that close.
No, it's not. I would agree with you 100%.
For you, would you put Thomas as the fourth of the four guys right now, of those offensive linemen?
Yeah, I would probably go...
Either Thomas or Jones, the kid from, Houston?
Right. Is it Josh Jones?
Yeah, Josh Jones.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, would you rather have the top wide receiver off the board? You choose, CeeDee Lamb or Ruggs or Judy, whatever you want. Or would you rather have the fourth offensive lineman?
I'm probably going Jerry Jeudy in that situation. Yeah.
All right, depending on how they – I mean, it depends on how Joe Douglas has the offensive tackles graded. I mean, what you may think is the fourth-rated offensive tackle could be Joe Douglas's second-rated offensive
tackle.
You're
right.
You know?
Sure. You're right.
Sure.
So you don't know. There's no consensus.
Nope.
But the beauty of the wide receiver position is, I mean, depending on what you need, you can find it in this draft. If you want a speed guy, you can find a speed guy. If you want a route runner, you can find a route. I mean, it's.
But I do think it's Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and then everybody else. I think those are clearly the best two receivers of this class.
With Ruggs as the third, right?
Yeah, but he's on down the line a little bit.
Well, you got Ruggs, and then you got the kid from Ayuk from
LSU. The LSU kid is pretty good, too.
Justin Jefferson. Yeah. T. Higgins. That kid from Baylor is good, too.
Denzel Mims.
Uh-huh. Have you seen, by the way, the kid from Notre Dame, Chase Claypool?
Yes.
He's 6'4", 240, dude.
4'3".
He's a beast.
So you can find a wide receiver. You can find a wide receiver.
I mean, and this who knows is probably the deepest wide receiver draft we've seen in years.
Yeah, let's face it. Adam Gase will misuse him one way or another anyway, so.
No, your negativity.
Well, how did he do for Devontae Parker? Was he good with Adam Gase?
Really great.
No, he did terrible. He wanted to get traded.
Yeah, not so good.
And all of a sudden, he's one of the better wide receivers.
But the Kenyon Drake thing worked out well.
Yeah, it worked out terrific, Dave. The Lev Bell thing worked out really well last year for us, too.
Jarvis Landry as well, yeah.
So, Lev, what did you achieve in your first year as a Jet? Well, I had my best bowling score of all time. No, I mean on the field. No, that was about it. I bowled the best game of my life in orange leather pants when my team was playing and I was supposed to be sick.
That was a statement.
Of course it was a statement. You don't go bowling, and I mean unless you're Prince, you don't go bowling in leather pants if you're trying to be incognito.
But that's got to be the most frustrating part of it all for Jets fans, though, Rico, is just that you don't know whether it's Le'Veon Bell fell off or whether the head coach just doesn't know how the hell to use him. And I'm trying to think in my mind which one is worse, and I feel like the latter is worse than the former. I mean, you could almost just stomach Le'Veon Bell being past it and eat the rest of the guaranteed money mm-hmm. this year, but God forbid you realize that you don't have a head coach. Now where does that put your franchise?
Big trouble.
Bad spot.
Yeah, big
awful
trouble.
Awful spot. Because now you just burned through 3 years of Sam Darnold on a rookie deal.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any more benefit of the doubt with Adam Gase. I think he needs to prove something this coming season.
Absolutely. Especially, I mean, now no Tom Brady, and you have an extra, I mean, there's an extra playoff team. 100%.
Can you imagine if Miami was better than the Jets this coming season?
Now, see, I knew.
What? I'm having a conversation.
That's actually not hard to envision, though, Dave. I'm being honest with you. That's not a stretch.
That would be so bad for this organization.
Doesn't Vegas think that? I mean, Vegas thinks that Miami's going to be better than the Jets. I think the Jets have the longest odds to win the division.
Ugh.
I think it's the Patriots, the Bills, Miami, and the Jets.
That's concerning.
Yeah.
I'll put it to you this way. I was watching Pro Football Talk this morning, and Florio and Chris Sims were doing a draft of AFC East players, and I think we had to wait until those guys got to their fifth picks before any Jets players showed up.
No. Nope.
Other than Jamal Adams.
Jamal Adams was, he went.
Yeah.
I think he went with the second pick.
Mm-hmm.
Second first-round pick, yeah. First one was Stephon Gilmore.
Of course it would be.
That's a no-brainer, yeah.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Where would you put Tre'Davious White?
Oh,
see, to me, you could make an argument Gilmore or White being the first corner in the division.
Well, they got Byron Jones, too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Then you got Xavier Howard.
Yeah, their secondary is
the secondaries
really
in the AFC East are ridiculous, by the way. Ridiculous.
Yeah, then you got the McCourties
and Josh Norman. And Josh Norman signed with Buffalo.
Yes, he did.
And oh, by the way, they got Steph Diggs.
Oh. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bills are going to be good. Bills have,
in terms of overall talent, you would probably put the Patriots and the Bills well ahead of the Jets, and the Dolphins are a team that's coming.
They're a team that's coming that has 14 picks in the draft.
They got, which includes three first rounders.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's not great. It is not great.
But you know what? You haven't, on the positive side, and I mean this sincerely, this GM has not gone through a draft. So let's let him go through his draft before we start to destroy the Jets in this division.
No, I don't think anyone's destroying the Jets. Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen what he does in the draft. I mean,
Dave, even if the general manager gets the players, I mean, good players can't overcome bad coaching. What difference is it going to make?
Yeah, I mean, you're right,
but that's what concerns you, though, Dave. I mean, is the track record? I mean, it's the numbers are there. I mean, he's supposed to be an offensive genius, and you go. I mean, we went through the numbers last week. I mean, Adam Gase's offenses have not fared well. I think yards wise in his career as a head coach, I think 26th was the highest one of his teams finished in yards. That ain't great.
No, and he's had some talent.
And last year
was
the worst.
He hasn't really known how to use it. Probably.
Yeah, he's got talent, but he ends up trading it away.
Yeah. I mean, you look. I mean, Kenyon Drake got the, what did he get, the franchise tag or the whatever tag?
I thought he got the transition tag.
Right.
Transition,
so he gets tagged. Devontae Parker has turned into a terrific player. Damian Williams is gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when guys get away from him, they become better players offensively.
Yeah, he traded J.J. Yeah, I mean, it's not a great track record, man. And you listen, the whole concept of taking people's fines and putting them on the TV screens. I mean, it's just
I've never heard of that. By the way,
never
heard of that.
Never, 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 never have ever heard about that. I mean, there's a long list, man. It freaks me out, to be completely honest, because I mean, because the last thing you want to have happen all of a sudden now is have. I mean, listen, is it just by chance that the two best quarterbacks to come out of the draft that Sam Darnold was drafted in just so happened to be on functional teams? You got Josh Allen and you got Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rosen goes to Arizona. He gets traded. I mean, who knows what his career is ever going to look like. And then you got poor Sam ends up with the Jets. And I mean, if God forbid they fire Adam Gase after this season, you have another head coach. I mean, it's a mess.
So I'll put this question out there to you guys. Which position would you rather be in, with the Giants and having an unknown at coach and a terrible GM, or would you rather be the Jets and have an unknown at GM and a terrible head coach?
I'd rather be with the Giants, right, just because you're only in Daniel Jones' second year. And at least it feels like the coach is going to be around.
But it feels like the Jets are closer to competing for a playoff spot than the Giants right now.
Well, how close is that? I mean, I don't think either are that close.
Well, I don't think the Giants are anywhere close to a playoff spot. I think the Jets are going to. I think the Jets should compete.
I think the Jets could be close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just could be close. But, I mean, just where we stand today, both teams, I mean, the Jets are the odds on favorite from Vegas to be fourth in their division. And it's between the Giants and the Redskins to finish fourth in their division.
But the Giants have no chance to compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Dave.
I mean, no, there's no way the Giants are going to compete for a playoff spot. I think the Jets have a realistic chance to compete for a playoff
spot.
Dave,
they could let 10 teams in the NFC in. Yeah. I don't think the Giants are going to get a playoff spot.
We could redo the CBA every Monday until the draft, have 12 of the 16 teams going, and I still wouldn't feel convinced the Giants are that team.
Unless you took the offensive weapons from the Giants and put them on the Jets with their defense. Then maybe you got a chance.
If you
so
put them together,
between the two New York franchises, we could have a playoff team.
If you put them together, do you think they win the AFC East?
Yes.
It took you a while to answer that.
No, I do. Yeah, I mean, if you gave me Saquon Barkley,
you could
Evan
put them
Ingram,
both together, and your secondary is still probably not that good.
Yeah. Bring over Bradbury. That'd be better, though. CJ Mosley.
Of course
back.
It'd be better.
Defense, that defense.
You still have
still
the worst
good.
Secondary in the division.
Yeah. Yeah,
But the defense should be good.
And we still wouldn't have a pass rush.
No.
And you still wouldn't have a pass rush. Wow.
No. And Leonard Williams.
I'm telling you what,
couldn't make this up. You could not make this up.
That stupid win against Washington is going to come back to bite you in the ass, I'm telling you, man.
I love Don. Every time he defends that win and how it makes sense to him, it drives me absolutely insane. Because that was going to be one of the worst wins in franchise history.
Well, you get and now Chase Young's in your division.
That's what makes it worse. It's awful.
Yeah,
all right, there's everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands, avoid close contact with people who are sick, avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth, stay home when you're sick, cover your cough or sneeze, clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. All right, I got my hot take. Are you guys ready?
Of course I'm ready. Are you ready, okay. Chris?
Chris, you ready?
You ain't got to get ready if you stay ready, Dave. Let's go.
All right. It's a very hot take. All right, so I have it. You guys get, five questions each, and I tell you in advance what sport it involves, right?
Yes, you tell us a sport, and then we each get five questions, correct?
Okay. It is the NFL, the National Football League, which apparently will start right on time.
It's the NFL, and we get five questions.
Five questions.
Chris, you want to go first? Or you want me to go first? We got to narrow this thing down.
I'll give you the honors, brother.
Okay, we'll start. We're going to try to narrow down divisions. Does this involve the NFC East?
Yes.
Ooh, that's one first question.
Does it have anything to do with the Dallas Cowboys?
Nope.
Doesn't have anything to do with the Dallas Cowboys. Does this have anything to do with the Washington Redskins?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness.
Is this an Eagles question?
Nope.
Also, this is a Giants question. Mm-hmm. Hot take regarding the Giants.
All right, so you're each two in.
Does this involve this year's NFL draft?
Nope.
Doesn't. Interesting.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Doesn't involve one Saquon Barkley.
It does. Yes. Three each.
Hot take.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that your hot take is that this upcoming season, Saquon Barkley will rush for 1,000 and receive for 1,000.
That is incorrect. Ugh. That is incorrect.
Your hot take has something to do with the Giants moving Saquon Barkley.
No, 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 no. Rick was, when he down to your last guess, Rick was much closer than
you. Saquon Barkley will lead the NFL in rushing.
That's correct! Yes!
What you just said.
I am the smartest man alive!
Yes, very well done. In my mind. Yes.
And if that happens, then Saquon Barkley will be the first running back to get paid $100 million.
I think the Giants are going to improve this offensive line a lot in the draft. And I think that this new offense with Garrett, they're going to feed him the football and that he will lead the NFL in rushing. And I think that Christian McCaffrey takes a step back.
But yeah, there's not a whole lot around Christian McCaffrey down there in Carolina, so I could certainly see that happening. But yeah, I mean, Saquon leading the league in rushing, knowing the type of offense that Jason Garrett runs is definitely something that seems like it could happen.
So it's a hot take, but it's a plausible hot take, right? Like, it's not like I said something out of this world crazy.
No, I think preseason he's going to be a lot of people's favorite to win the rushing title.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you didn't call anyone a turd. I mean, yeah, so it's reasonable.
I did not. No, I did
no
not.
No turd.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I like it.
So you like that hot take?
I love that hot take.
I like nice. That hot take a lot.
Very good. I'm glad. I'm glad that was met with approval. By the way, did you see what Jerry Jones did this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I did see that.
He's trolling Dak Prescott.
Oh, he absolutely is, 100%. And I'm here for it, Dave. I love it.
But why is he doing that?
Well, I mean, this is a part of them going through the draft process, but they could have put any kid up there that Jerry Jones was going to talk to between now and the draft, and they chose Jalen Hurts for a reason. It's because there's a lot of similarities with Jalen Hurts coming out of college with Dak Prescott. I guess he's saying, listen, this is one of those things where Dak is going to get his money, but Jerry Jones is going to take this thing right up to the line.
I don't know why they're choosing to mess with Dak Prescott, though.
I don't understand either.
I mean,
you know why. He doesn't want to pay Dak Prescott and make him the highest paid player in the NFL. You think that's what he wants to do?
Yeah, but how long? I mean, hey, you're going to pay him now. He's going to be the highest paid player for like 3 weeks until Pat Mahomes becomes the highest paid player.
Yeah, Rick, I understand that. But just based on principle, Jerry Jones doesn't want to do it. He doesn't feel like Dak Prescott is a better player than Russell Wilson. So he doesn't want to pay Dak Prescott more than Russell Wilson. We know that's not how it works. But in his mind, that's got to be what he's thinking. Because if he wasn't thinking that, Dak Prescott would already be paid.
I'd be willing to listen. If this is the hill you want to die on, and you want to reset, you know, the way the NFL does business, and it becomes you get paid for, you know, what level you're at, as opposed to the next guy up gets paid the most money, I would feel a whole hell of a lot more comfortable doing that if Cooper Rush wasn't my backup option. If I had someone better in place as my backup, maybe I'd be willing to risk it a little bit. But you don't have great options. If you don't sign Dak Prescott.
Which is why Dak is going to get his money. Dak is going to get paid.
Yeah, Dak is going to get paid. I think the whole holdup is the years, too. I think they want a longer commitment and Dak wants to go shorter.
Yeah, I guess all of that is all well and cool until we actually have clearance for players to start going back to team facilities and working out and getting with the coaches and learning the playbook. Because with this window that the Cowboys have right now, Jerry Jones can't afford an extended absence from his quarterback. That can't happen.
I just don't understand why some of these teams, and I know you want to set the precedent, but the precedent's already been set. Like, Kirk Cousins got a fully guaranteed deal. Like, I think here's a perfect example. Like, if you're trying to get a long-term deal done with Derrick Henry to keep his average number down, why wouldn't you say 4 years, $40 million guaranteed?
Is guaranteed the entire deal?
just guarantee that. I mean, yeah.
Well, that's what, it's the Kirk Cousins model. I don't understand why more teams won't do it, but I guess if you're talking about a guy that's not a quarterback, then there are less protections in place and a higher risk of injury, and teams don't want to get caught with a whole bunch of guaranteed money out there for a player that's not producing. So I guess that would be the logic.
Yeah, but at least it's only $10 million. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like I would offer Pat Mahomes. I would say, I'll give you a 10-year deal for $300 million guaranteed.
Oh,
just to keep.
But, here's the question: Year two, he ruptures his knee and is never the same player again.
It's the risk you run to try to get at the number that you want.
You're right. It's a big risk, though.
It's a whole lot of money out there.
It's a whole lot of money, but I mean, if he does what you hope he does. And I mean, he's being one of the greatest quarterbacks to play. I mean, you're saving yourself what $150 million, probably.
It's a steal. Yeah, if he gives you 10 years of health, it's a steal. And if he doesn't, you get taken to the cleaners. All right, guys. In these trying times, important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com and let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Like, and this sounds sensational. Bell's Beef and Shakes, located at 190 Passaic Avenue in Belleville, New Jersey. Bell's Beef and Shakes specializes in roast beef sandwiches with au jus, extra crispy wings, and homemade gelato and shakes. Let's just think about this for a moment, shall we?
Oh, I don't even know what's the best part of that whole thing.
How good does that sound? Homemade, where'd you go, gelato or a shake right now?
Gelato.
Could you handle, but let me give their information before we continue this conversation. Give them a call at 973-759-7500 or go to bellsbeef.com, B-E-L-L-E-S. Could you have a shake with your roast beef sandwich and gelato for dessert?
You can do whatever you want.
No, could you? I mean, is that something you're capable of doing?
That sounds like a bad combination.
Oh, it sounds.
Yeah,
so
I don't
good,
know if
though,
that. It sounds tasty. I don't usually do the shake while I'm eating. Like, the shake would be like whatever the dessert's going to be is going to be the dessert.
Yeah,
and which I agree with, but desperate times call for desperate measures. No,
I don't disagree. I'm just, my personal preference would be I would go with the sandwich with the au jus, delicious. I'd probably drink. I mean, if there was any au jus left, I'd probably drink it, and then I would go to the gelato.
I'm just saying the roast beef sandwich is a lot to work through on its own, but to try to wash it down with a milkshake seems
right,
a little excessive.
Maybe I'm overly ambitious. Maybe
you're being aggressive right now. That's
maybe,
okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
I can understand it.
It's like that commercial where the guy's got the little baby giraffe, like the opulence commercial. Like, sometimes it's just too much.
You're right, Rick. It's too much of a good thing.
It is. But that place sounds delicious. All right, here we go. Santi, if you will.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knob Observation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. New format for Knob Observations. Usually I go with a Did This Happen in Florida, but Dave, Dave and Canty suggest that I sprinkle in some good before we got into the crazy, so I'm going to do that right now. We'll sprinkle in some good. Justin Verlander, I had mentioned this earlier in the show. I'll bring it back. He announced with his wife, Kate Upton, in an Instagram post that they would pick an organization each week and highlight it, and he will be donating all of the money he will be making currently. He's getting paid $44,775 a day for 60 days, which equals $286,500. So he will be donating all $286,000 to a different organization that he picks to highlight each week.
Good on him. It's great.
That's great. That's great. Another great story. I know he's had his trouble, but I give him credit because he's stepped up. Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, is going to donate more than 10,000 N95 masks to be distributed. He's going to give that to the Indiana State Department of Health. He's also given $1 million to Gleaners Food Bank in Indianapolis last month. Which was cool about this, though, is that he donated the money after he challenged Colts fans to raise $200,000. It took them less than 24 hours for the fans to get to the $200,000, which I think is pretty
awesome. That's great. I love hearing that. That's awesome.
Great stories. I agree. You know, he's a guy that certainly, I don't know, he's got some issues, and he's had some issues. But if you follow him on Twitter, which I do, he gives back to the community unbelievably. I think before every game day, he gives tickets away, and obviously this is just a tremendous job by him. So good on him. I mean, anybody that's going to give up, you know, their own money away during this time, even if they have a lot of it, we should certainly try to bring attention to that. So good on all these guys.
We absolutely should. Here we go, boys. Did this happen in Florida? Interesting story here. This is not the first time I've told a story like this. It probably won't be the last. Gender reveal party went horribly wrong. Do you see this one?
Burned down the community or something.
went horribly wrong when it sparked a fire that burned down 10 acres. Apparently what they used, they initially thought it was a report that it was firework. It was not. Firefighters realized that there were some explosives involved. Apparently these people decided they were going to use, in order to do the gender reveal, they were going to use Tannerite and a weapon. Tannerite is a highly explosive substance often used as a rifle target. So they had a weapon and the Tannerite for the gender reveal, and then all hell broke loose and caught fire that ended up burning down 10 acres.
10 acres is a lot of land.
That's a lot of land, yeah. It's fast moving.
Oh, and this is what I mean. Like every time you hear the Ursay or the Verlander or you know, we're talking about these restaurants or people who do the right thing or they're donating masks, then you get these other people who are having, in their own right, they're having a gender reveal party, which is, what are you doing?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you could have not burned down any of the forest, Rick, and you should be in observations for having a gender reveal party, and then you're burning down the forest.
Yeah, I'm not against the gender reveal, but I mean, they're much safer, especially, I mean, with what we're dealing with now. Like, I mean, can't we just, why don't we make some cupcakes and maybe use, like, you know, some blue or pink frosting inside the cupcake or something like that?
Yeah, the gender reveal should be a lot simpler, and it should be, you know, it shouldn't be a whole lot of people around while you're doing it.
No, awful. All right, so you want to know if that's Florida? I know where it is, so should I not participate in this?
Yeah, I wouldn't participate. Let's leave this one up to Canty in Santiago.
I'm going to say it did happen in Florida.
Santiago, Florida?
I'm leaning towards Florida. Now, is Tannerite an everyday substance for this type
apparently,
of thing?
Apparently, it is a highly explosive substance, also often used as... It makes me believe that this Tannerite is what you've seen in the Tiger King, when he blows stuff up by the lake, that he shoots.
I'm just wondering if this is like commonly used and we don't see this happen more often.
I don't know if it's common. It doesn't sound like it's, I mean, I guess it is, but I mean, it's used as a rifle target. So I guess it is used quite a bit.
I don't know. When in doubt, say Florida.
Yeah, that's actually a good philosophy. I'm going to make it a bracelet made up like that. That was in fact Florida. You guys are correct. That was Florida. Why do you have to shoot something? I mean, why can't we just? There's no.
People are the worst. Could you imagine being a firefighter, and you're scared to death of everything going on right now? And then you get.
Could you imagine
call.
If your house got burnt down because of this?
Right, but then you get the call of you better come. We have an out of control fire. Well, how big is it? 10 acres are being burned. Why? Because people are celebrating the announcement of their baby and the gender reveal. The worst. They're just the worst.
I mean, even the farting one was bad. I mean, that's
heck of a story for the kid, though.
No, it's a terrible story, period. The kid's going to be like, oh, what's wrong with you people?
Well, like, already, I think he almost doesn't stand a chance, right?
I don't have a chance now. I mean, what are we doing here?
He doesn't have a chance.
How about this? Speaking of the Tiger King, how about this? I saw this story this morning. Getting stories ready. This is actually an article in the Daily Star. Monkeys and apes are chain-smoking cigarettes as coronavirus panic grips the planet. This is actually a story. It says stressed out primates have taken to chain smoking cigarettes as the corona crisis rages across the globe. I guess apparently
they've taken to smoking them. Obviously, they're being supplied with the cigarettes and the lighters.
Yes, but apparently I didn't even realize this because I've seen this
smoking them.
No, but I mean this is actually a story. So I didn't even realize this. But what's crazy about this? Is that apparently that some of them get started smoking by picking up smoke discarded cigarette butts that get them addicted initially, and then they become addicted. I'm sitting here looking at the pictures. It's ridiculous. It's an actual story that they're chain smoking cigarettes.
Wow,
it's craziness.
They're not reading the labels, I guess.
Apparently not. I mean, they're stressed out. Here's the one for Chris. Chris mentioned this to start the show. He wanted Mike Leach nominated, and he deserves to be nominated. Again, this just goes to, I mean, why you would even tweet something like this is, I guess he's trying to be funny, but in actuality, it's not funny. So the caption was, it was a meme of an old lady knitting with a caption that says, after 2 weeks of quarantine with her husband, Gertrude decided to knit him a scarf, though the scarf is actually a noose. And he thought that would be funny.
He thought that would be funny, Rick, but it feels like he doubled down on it with the apology, which doesn't sound like an apology. He said, I sincerely regret if my choice of images in my tweets were found offensive. I had no intention of offending anyone. Really? So you tweeting out a picture of a noose, especially being the head coach of Mississippi State football, you would think that that's funny? How is that even possible?
Yeah, but then he didn't own the apology, right?
But that's my point, Dave. That's my point. So I'm sorry if I offended him. Well, no, what you tweeted out is offensive. It's a noose.
Yeah, that's what aggravates me, though, about some people, is like they'll do something like that, and then they won't really apologize, and it's like they can't believe that someone was offended. Well, someone was offended. I mean, I don't care if you believe it or not. What you tweeted offended somebody. So own the fact that it was an offensive tweet. I don't understand where the disconnect is.
I know you'll find this very hard to believe, but I've had issues with this in my past where I'm not the best apologizer. So I'll do something which is not right or appropriate, and Sherry will get upset with me. And instead of me being the bigger person and saying, you know what, I really screwed up, I'm sorry, I will just say, I'm sorry if you're upset by what I've done, which just leads to more arguments and anger. But I think I'm getting a little better at it now. But it's not my finest moment.
It doesn't sound like your finest moment.
No,
I mean,
it's
here's
not.
Where you got to just wrap your head around this. Like, if whatever you did or said offended the person, you don't dictate how they feel about something. So,
but here's my point, though, Rick. You're the head coach of Mississippi State football. How could you think a tweet in which a noose is pictured? How could you think that wouldn't be offensive?
You couldn't.
That's my point.
I mean, the answer to the question is you couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, initially, maybe you weren't. Really, I mean, if you wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, initially, like, him not thinking, like, I mean, really wrapping his head around what he was doing and just spur of the moment he does it. But then the second people are offended and outraged, then obviously you put some thought into it. And you're like, you know what? Ridiculous. Why would I? I better own this. But he didn't.
Awful,
he didn't really own it.
Awful job by him.
Awful job.
And you saw one of the players hit the transfer portal.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. He was out.
Good for him. If he's offended and he wants to leave, then good for him. Last one. Here you go, Dave. This is when keeping it real goes wrong. So they're doing the iRacing. You've seen that?
Mm-hmm.
The virtual
mm-hmm.
racing? Mm-hmm. this is hilarious. So I guess during the race, Bubba Wallace got upset. So Clint Boyer was doing the in-race reporting, and he said, I got bubbed after he was moved out of the line by Bubba Wallace.
Uh-huh.
And so Bubba Wallace gets upset, and he just decided that he was going to rage. Like, he quit. He rage quitted. He's like, that's why.
Me.
He goes, that's why I don't take this bleep serious. Peace out. So he was like, he was mad, right? And then he actually gets more upset and says, I ruined so many people's day by quitting a video game. Baha, a video game. Damn, quarantine life is rough. So this is where keeping it real goes wrong. He said one of his sponsors, Blue Emu, they gassed him. Bye-bye, Bubba.
He lost his sponsor?
Yes, we're interested in drivers, not quitters. And then they added a second tweet using an image of Donald Trump uttering, you're fired. So they fired him for quitting the iRace.
Wow.
Yeah, that's tough.
Wow. Well, if they'd like a place to advertise, we'd love to bring Blue Emu on here.
Yeah, I mean, we'll listen.
Right?
I'm not a quitter. You saw
no,
that. I mean, that's,
none of us quit. I mean, we're working through a pandemic, for God's sakes.
This is what we do.
Bubba Wallace can't say the same.
I could use
Rick worked through a bad back this weekend.
That's right.
It is a topical pain reliever. I could use that.
There you go. We can have some fun with this tomorrow. The all-decade team in the NFL just came out for the 2010s. I don't know if you guys have seen it. How many Jets and Giants combined have made the all-decade team, Chris?
That would be one. Is that correct, Dave?
That would be correct. And that one would be Rick.
Well, we're not going to wait. Why would we do it now? We got a minute left in the show. I thought we were going to play with this tomorrow.
Well, but there's one obvious New York guy that made the team. I'm not going to run through the entire team right now.
I don't want to play this game. I want to save it for tomorrow.
I don't think you just go punt on it?
I want to save it.
We've caught you off guard, and you don't have the answer at the tip of your tongue, and you want to save face, so you won't give me the answer.
I don't like your attitude.
I think I've hit on a sore subject.
Terrell Revis?
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we have the entirety of the team to still run through tomorrow. I don't think knowing Darrell Revis is on it is going to offend or upset anybody.
Don't tell me how I'm supposed to feel, Dave.
Listen, I don't want to get involved with you and your emotions, so I apologize greatly for that. We'll be with the three of us and our emotions and what we like and don't like tomorrow at 9:55.
DiPietro, Catty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.